the best of the bunch so far is called Captivated, The Trials of Pamela Smart. And for people who don't remember, this was a really gaudy first televised murder trial back in the early 90s. It was a woman who was a high school teacher, had had an affair with a student, and then this student and a couple of his friends murdered her husband. It turned into a media onslaught on this small town in New Hampshire. It was all over Geraldo, Donahue. There were TV movies made with Helen Hunt as Pamela Smart. It eventually was turned into a fictitious account in the movie To Die For with Nicole Kidman. And they set up this narrative of the ice queen, sex bomb, older lady taking advantage of these kids to kill her husband. Well, this film, Captivated, looks at how the media's influence on the trial may have caused injustice in the case. It uncovers new evidence that's really interesting. It has interviews with all the players, from the lawyers involved to Pamela Smart, who's serving life in prison without a chance for parole right now for being an accomplice to the murder. And it's really amazing because where we are now, 20 years later, how much media is in the courtroom, how much media affects all of our culture. And this was really sort of a harbinger of things to come at this court case back in the early 90s. I highly recommend that. It's playing plenty of times throughout the rest of the festival. Captivated, The Trials of Pamela Smart, a really good one. Another documentary called Marmato, it's named after a town in Colombia. It sits on top of $20 billion worth of gold on a mountaintop in the mountains of Colombia. And the townspeople have been mining it for hundreds of years, old-time style, sticks of dynamite, guys in there with pickaxes and buckets. And then a Canadian company came in, of course, because they knew about this giant amount of gold and started buying up all the mines that the townspeople owned and basically wanted to level the mountain. And so this movie is about the struggle of sort of keeping the culture of this small town and these old-time miners and fighting sort of the big corporation who wants to come in and just level the place, take all the gold and get out of there. A really strong show. And then another documentary called Happiness takes place in Bhutan up in the Himalayan mountains. And it is a look at the very last town in Bhutan after the king had allowed electricity to come into the kingdom for the first time. It's the last town in the mountains to get electricity, which allows them to get television. And they sort of look at the idea of this small town being affected by the invasion of internet and television through the eyes of an 8-year-old boy whose mother has sent him to the monastery to become a Buddhist monk. And this kid doesn't really want to be a monk. He wants to play with his friends, and he really wants to watch television at his uncle's house. And you have these great scenes of his uncle going down the mountain and selling a yak to buy a television for the first time and carry it up the mountain, drops the television the first trip. So they have to wait, go back down, sell another yak. Really interesting, beautiful scenery, really gorgeously shot. A lot of people that I heard after the film were kind of complaining that it's not a classic documentary in the sense that the filmmaker obviously had gotten to know this family and was there for these scenes of the mother telling the boy he's going to go to the monastery or the boy finding his sister in the city who had gone to the big city to be a success and ends up as a dancer in a club. But to me, that didn't really matter. It was a really interesting story, beautifully shot. And the funniest thing is these people up in these upper reaches of the Himalayas, the thing they're most entranced with, American wrestling, like cheesy wrestling, you know, the guys body slamming each other.
I mean, you have to be a little bit suspicious if the message is, oh, why don't we leave these wonderful people in their idyllic setting alone?
Right. Right. It's pretty it's really interesting to see the effects. Obviously, it's easy for me to sit here and say, oh, these poor folks going to be ruined by the invasion of television to this beautiful lifestyle. They're living a hard lifestyle. The reason this mother sends her 8-year-old to the monastery is because she can't afford to send him to school. And his father died in a bear attack when he was a child. She has 6 children, so she's sending him to study and become a monk.
So it's not as though life was all that great.
No, it's like really cold. It looks really harsh, you know. But really, really beautiful story. That one's called Happiness, and that's playing a lot through the rest of the series as well.
What are you looking forward to the rest of the festival?
You know, there's some stuff that I definitely have on my radar. One is called No-No. It's a documentary about Doc Ellis, the baseball pitcher who famously pitched a no-hitter while tripping on LSD. And this story looks into his whole career and sort of – this guy was a real character, obviously, anyway. And really good show. Another one called Fishing Without Nets is a look at Somali pirate story through the eyes of one of the pirates, and that's gotten some really great buzz. That's built on a short film that had been at Sundance a few years ago. And then one called Dear White People that's sort of a satire of racial politics that takes place at an Ivy League university where a bunch of white students kind of throw a racially insensitive party and how that affects some of the black students there.
All right. Dan Nalen, looking at Sundance for us. Thank you very much.
You bet.